hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." Yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be good.
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben, and thank God for another Saturday. It's always a privilege to come your way. And on weekends, this program is going to run from 8 to 10 p.m. And we will be continuing what we started talking about last week regarding the times we live in, the vaccine, and related issues, the Great Reset I spoke about last 2 weeks. I'll be talking a bit about it tonight again. You know, these are the times you can talk about these things, because soon, when that real time comes, you can't talk about these things on air again. I mean, these are already, I saw news to that effect this week, where in UK they've started pushing that they should criminalize any talk against vaccine and all that. So it tells you what is coming, because there is the move to criminalize anti-vaccine moves or statements, media and all, then we should let you think, you know, that indeed it's not just normal, because why can't people express their views? Why should it be imposed on everyone? That's those who say anything against it should be seen as criminals. And so these are the free times we have to talk about these things. So that's why we are saying it when we have to. And interesting times we live in indeed. Very, very interesting times. If you follow the landscape, the world, the global politics and all that, you look at the news, it's just getting interesting by the day. Of course, as Christians, these things should not, take us by surprise, or shouldn't be caught off guard. The Bible foretold these things centuries ago, and it's just an amazing book called the Word of God that we have that can foretell all these things in a way which it's only God that can know and have an advanced knowledge of such. And clearly, Bible-believing Christians should enjoy reading the Bible in these times, because if there was ever a time to really know that the Bible is a true book, these are the times, because no book is so precise in its prophetic words that you see it in the Bible and you look at the news and you see it in the headlines, various ways and forms unfolding. And that's the essence of this program as well. We talk about these things and bring to attention our listeners, things unfolding in the world, what to do, how we live, how to prepare, the warnings from God and all that. Indeed, if this Great Reset, as they call it, the World Economic Forum is trying to push, if it was such a good thing, they would ask people's opinion about it. But here is the case where it's only the elites in the world, the top, who think they have the all the wisdom to impose their views on the rest of the world. I'll be reading some of the news regarding these things as well. We thank God for tonight, and let me start with this song, and I will be back.
Everybody sing it over one time, children. Now listen to my story. It's a story about my dream. Amen, amen, amen. Now we see the little baby. We know that he's wrapped in a manger. On Christmas morning. Him at the seashore, he's talking to the fisherman. You know that he's making us disciples. Amen, amen. We're going right to Jerusalem.
For that wonderful amen song. Okay, Issues of Life, Eben here, Brother Mafu is in the studio, Brother Redu is in Akraba, will be joining by phone in the course of the program. I saw this interesting article by on the RT website, Russia Today website, and let me start with this piece. It's quite interesting because it fits into what I was talking about in the last few weeks and tonight as well. The title is, If the Great Reset Really is So Good for Us, Let's Hold a Referendum on It So It Can Have a Democratic Mandate, into bracket, or not. This is written by Neil Clark. It says, the World Economic Forum's Great Reset and associated Fourth Industrial Revolution, that's what they also call it, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, if implemented, mean far deeper changes to our everyday lives than Brexit. I mean, he's in Britain, the one who wrote it, so that's why the reference to Brexit. Yet, it's being pushed through without any proper debate. With the Great Reset or Fourth Industrial Revolution, the UK government, like many others in the West, is clearly trying to implement the Klaus Schwab that's the World Economic Forum program. He is the head of World Economic Forum. He has been talking about the Great Reset under the guise of fighting a virus. But unlike Brexit, not only is there no public vote, there is not even a debate. How can this be right? The Great Reset, or the 4IR, or the Fourth Industrial Revolution, and closely linked to the UN Agenda 2030, represents not only the most radical changes ever proposed in our lifetimes, but the most radical changes to everyday life in history. The Great Reset is actually about redefining what it means to be a human being. For centuries, it has been accepted that man is a social animal, that meeting up with other people is good for us, that we have certain freedoms which are inalienable. But the Great Reset threatens all of this. Klaus Schwab says, quote, "What the Fourth Industrial Revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity." Let me repeat. Quote, that's Klaus Schwab's statement. "What the Fourth Industrial Revolution, or in other words, the Great Reset, will lead to is a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity," unquote. Wow. A fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity? That's transhumanism. Cyborgs, iRobots, etc. That presents a slightly bigger change to our lives than anything argued about in the Brexit negotiations. So will the abolition of private property except for a privileged few. And then the World Economic predicts that by 2030, you own nothing and you will be happy. Is this what the public really wants? A cashless society? Humans have been using cash, banknotes, and coins for, a long time, millennia. Now we are told they have to go. The civil liberties repercussions of a cashless society are truly terrifying, as they mean anyone can be cut off from the system for non-compliance. Eliminate cash and you eliminate freedom. The Great Reset means that the golden age of travel for ordinary people will be at an end. The WEF, that's World Economic Forum, has been promoting digital health passes, and Bill Gates calls it digital travel certificates. Health passes raising the real prospect that only those who have the COVID-19 vaccines or negative tests results will be able to leave their country or indeed attend a sporting or cultural event. Combine that with the collapse of the airline industry, the mass closure of all but most expensive hotels, and the end of cheaper petrol-fueled cars, and advent of smart motorways where access can easily be restricted, and most people will be stuck in their homes. But not, of course, the Davos man. They don't use EasyJet, they use private jets, and they will still be able to meet in Switzerland and do their conferences, elite conferences. He goes on to say that, and what life would be like in Britain under the Great Reset was laid out for us in Boris Johnson's socially distanced speech to the party conference in October. It was an oration which could easily have been written by Klaus Schwab. Quote, "From internet shopping to working from home, it looks as though COVID has massively accelerated changes in the world of work. As old jobs are lost and as new jobs are created, the COVID crisis is a catalyst for change," unquote, according to Johnson, that's the British Prime Minister. Previous generations were told that the world was their oyster, but under the Great Reset, horizons are much narrower. Instead of being dragged on big commutes to city, people can start a business in their hometown and bring up their children to neighborhoods where they grew up themselves, Johnson went on. But of course, the elite will be moving around, and just unlike the normal citizens. Right? Then the premise of the Great Reset is that there is absolutely no going back to the lives we enjoyed prior to March 2020. quotes, the people assume we are going back to the good old world, which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal in the old fashioned. This, let's say, fiction, it will not happen. It will not happen. The cut which we have now is much strong, is too strong in order not to leave traces, says Schwab, that's the World Economic Forum boss. So for you thinking that we are going back to life, will go back to normal, forget it. It's not going to, we are not going back again. And let me finish, then I'll explain. No, like vaccine. If you have a vaccine or PCR test before you can travel, even Ghana. If you have PCR, you don't have PCR, you can't come to Ghana. The COVID PCR test results. And it says, now, of course, some people might like the idea of working permanently from home. That's if they are lucky enough to have a job. Ordering anything online which can arrive by drone or whatever. Having to have continually updated digital health pass to go anywhere. Owning nothing and having your biological, physical, and digital identities combined or fused. But shouldn't they be consulted about this first? Then final part says that, and what about those of us who actually miss the old-fashioned normal of mixing freely with people, of paying cash, or driving petrol-fueled cars wherever we want to go, and being in crowded pubs? Most of us care about the environment, but are suspicious that, like COVID-19, sustainable development has become a Trojan horse to introduce regressive changes to our lives that most definitely are not to our benefit. A referendum on the Great Reset or the Fourth Industrial Revolution is urgently needed so that the Build Back Better Brigade can put their case directly to the electorate. If what they are proposing really is so great, then what on earth are they frightened of? And that's another name. They call it now the Build Back Better. When you see Build Back Better, it means they are rebuilding the world for a better one. You know, this whole concept, you know, is what started, if you really analyze it well, the Tower of Babel concept is exactly what is playing out, you know. Come together, build, we are one, and then God separates. Now, that they want to redo it again. We are one again, one world, one government, one this, open borders, everybody can move anywhere, so fast, so the whole concept is anti-God, but in a very nice, modernized, digitized way, and these are the times we are living in. For the COVID, they've said it in various ways, that it presents the perfect opportunity to push the agenda, because they always look for opportunities, and they've been waiting, and they've not had the perfect one, and until COVID came, whether they brought it or not, only God knows. But COVID has really presented itself as the perfect opportunity, so they don't want to let it go, and they are not letting it go. They want to ensure that this is the time to push their great reset, to control the world, control everyone, and everyone, that as many people as they can, to fall under their system. And when you look at the statements they make, you listen to some of them, what they say, it tells you that no, there's something more to it than just the Great Reset or just the vaccine. There's more to it. For instance, this next news, Canada's Prime Minister from this week, he trended a lot. This headline says, "The Great Reset trends on Twitter after Trudeau," that's the Canadian Prime Minister, "Trudeau's speech on COVID-19 hints it's not just a conspiracy theory." Apparently he made reference to it, and people now saw that this thing really is not some total conspiracy theory. But now, with his reference to it, people are now seeing, so people started searching online and saw that indeed this thing is not a conspiracy theory. Promising a reset is in the works. That means it's ongoing. They've started it. Promising a reset is in the works. Trudeau expanded on the enigmatic Build Back Better slogan that has surfaced on the lips of politicians and NGOs worldwide. Initially broadcast in late September, the speech saw him pledge $400 million to global humanitarian aid projects. Quote, "Building Back Better means giving support to the most vulnerable whilst maintaining momentum on reaching the goal 2030 agenda. That's the UN agenda 2030 I talked about earlier, for sustainable development and quote and into bracket sustainable development goals. That's the Prime Minister said, referencing the UN agenda 2030. Another okay, that's a French word. Another bête noire of conspiracy researchers who believe in, who believe it represents the blueprint for global totalitarian governments, and apparently thrown off balance by the Great Reset being a real thing. Viewers rush to look it up, sending researchers online for the term soaring on Google. And with his speech now, people now in Canada and people elsewhere are now believing that no. For him to say that it's in the works, then it's in the works, and it's true, it's in the works. This headline says, silencing discussion, ? UK Labour Party demands online crackdown on anti-vaccine disinformation ahead of COVID-19 vaccine rollout in UK. While the UK prepares for the COVID-19 vaccine rollout, Labour Party is calling for emergency censorship legislation to punish social media companies if they allow posting of what it considers to be anti-vaccine disinformation. Social media companies have a pitiful record of tackling disinformation. Shadow Culture Secretary Joe Stevens tweeted on Sunday, quote, so the government needs to stop dragging its heels and force companies to remove this dangerous content ahead of the rollout of the coronavirus vaccine. Stevens and Labour's Shadow Health Secretary Jonathan Ashworth have co-authored a letter demanding that governments impose financial and criminal penalties on social media platforms that fail to censor anti-vaccine posts. And then under scientific experts too, I think I last week, Saturday evening, or so after the program, I saw that one too. They too were proposing a similar thing, that they should criminalize any talk against the vaccine. So it tells you this is where we are headed. I mean, when even countries where freedom of speech is supposed to be their normal life, even they are looking at clamping down on freedom of speech regarding people's choices. Then when they are also giving, the big names are the ones giving these vaccines to Africa, and they will now control us by what to do. If someone gives you the vaccine and they say enforce it, then what options do our leaders have? So it tells you what is coming. I mean, that's why we are giving you these advance warnings ahead of time, because a time will come when you cannot sit on this station and say this. This is the time we can say it, when it's not been outlawed yet. Because if they are considering to outlaw any anti-vaccine statements in UK, then as for Africa, yes, Amasa, we'll just obey what our paymasters tell us, because they are providing the vaccines free of charge anyway. There's a second vaccine, Moderna, that's the company. Moderna's coronavirus vaccine is 94.5% effective, according to company data. They've also come out, so now there's the second one from the US, and the first one was Pfizer's own, which was 90%. This is Moderna's own, that's 94.5%. So more news coming out from their camp. Countries have started placing orders already. Europe has placed orders for 300 million vials or doses, whatever, already for the Pfizer's own. And Bill Gates, last week I said, has already paid, is it 70 million? Yeah, to help to apply for the poor countries in Africa and elsewhere as well. So eventually, you know, that the whole plan is to make it available. They call it the People's Vaccine, which in May 15th, our president also signed to it, the People's Vaccine, which will be available for all. And all means all. That's their definition of all. And so it tells you that we are headed towards somewhere. And, you know, it's interesting. This evening I was having a chat with, when I got to the studio, before I got down in the car, chatting with a friend, she's in Accra, and we were talking about this thing, that I mean, for a disease that has a death rate, a survival rate of 99.8% worldwide, I mean, to think about the fact that it's as if without the vaccine, the world has come to a halt. It tells you there's it's not normal. Mm-hmm. See, that's what this great reset concept, the New World Order, the globalists, they are using it as something to achieve an endpoint. And because other diseases are killing far more. But the attention has been as if this has brought the world to a standstill. Without it, the world is not going to progress. We are not going to go back to our normal lives. And ironically, I mean, Anthony Fauci, the U.S., the one in charge of their vaccine, the head of their, I've forgotten his position, but health regarding this COVID, leadership and all that. He said, even when the vaccine comes, we still have to social distance. We still have to use the nose mask. Mm-hmm. So the question now is, if a vaccine comes and we still have to use social distancing and have to put on the nose mask, then what's the use of the vaccine then? You know, so these are things that should let people ask questions. Because if the vaccine is not going to give us our freedoms, these are just signals to let you know that there's more to it than we just see in the news and what we'll be told by the governments and all that. Okay, the next news says Theresa May, the former British Prime Minister, warns future governments could make public worship illegal if precedent is set during the lockdown. Former Prime Minister Theresa May has told the House of Commons that she is concerned future governments with, quote, the worst of intentions, unquote, could make public worship illegal if services are allowed to be stopped during the second lockdown. That's in the UK. Speaking during the debate about the lockdown measures introduced in England on Thursday, Mrs. May aired her fears that move could create a dangerous precedent. And she is very, very right on this call. Quote, I just want to make one word about public worship and echo the concerns of others. My concern is that the government today making it illegal to conduct an act of worship for the best of intentions sets a precedent that could be misused for a government in the future with the worst of intentions. And it has unintended consequences, on quotes. And that's it. Clearly, if you look at the U.S., some of the Democrat governors, you can see the agenda is clearly anti-God. I mean, because you have some states where strip clubs and casinos can open and churches should remain closed. I mean, you can't tell me that, even in Ghana here, if we are truthful to ourselves, it's only the church that is enforcing social distancing and nose mask wearing, at least to a greater degree compared to other institutions. You see, so if the church can be disciplined to insist on nose masks in places of worship, washing hands before entering, sanitizing before entering the church hall and all that, the churches are obeying these rules and can obey it faithfully. Compare the church to a strip club and casino. Who has that respect for authority? Who will be can trust that they will obey the rules well? But it tells you that these governors just hit the church. So this is the time to stop the church from meeting. And it's happening. So what Theresa May is saying is exactly there. It's happening already in even some parts of the U.S., some states, where they've intentionally just allow the church, other places to open, but not the church, because they hate the church. That's it. There are instances where even courts, judges have ruled that they should allow churches to meet, and the governors say no. They still overrule they don't care. So what she's saying is the reality that is going to unfold, where some who hate God are going to use it as an opportunity to also stop the church from meeting. That's what's happening. Is that?
The governments are more powerful than the judges.
No.
So if the judges are declared, why should the government revert it?
But they are doing, they've done it. They are disobeying. That's the world we live in. 156 UN nations affirm West Bank settlements and East Jerusalem not part of Israel, according to the UN. As for the UN, they hate anything God. They hate UN. They hate Israel. They hate Christians. They hate Jews. You know, it's just an organization that is anti-Christian and anti-God, you know, all facets of it. And so anytime they vote against Israel, it's not surprising when most of the countries do so. And in this case, 156 nations affirmed the settlements resolution, 2016 resolution, came up to the floor, on the floor again, and they affirmed it. The UN Assembly Second Committee pushed back the concept of de facto Israeli annexation on Wednesday night, approving a draft resolution by 156 against 6. So 156 countries in favor, 6 against it. And these states that called on the called on nations to ensure that they do not retrieve the did not treat the West Bank settlements and East Jerusalem as part of sovereign Israel. The 6 countries that oppose the resolution are Canada, Israel, Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Nauru. I mean, those small islands, Nauru, and then United States. And that's it. And then a few other countries too exempted. I mean, Togo, Ivory Coast, and others. They exempted themselves. They didn't, they abstained, sorry. They didn't even vote.
The Ghana vote.
Yeah.
In favor
of this. Oh, no. Ghana, we're always in favor of the UN stance. Then, you see, these things, as for the Israel issue, the hatred at the larger group, world group, is very, very strong. And the U.S. has been saving them, I mean, opposing and standing on their side for some time, but... Well, it may not be so in the times ahead with the new president. If it's fully finalized that he will be, then it's going to change. Because I saw a news item that they've started considering Hillary to be the UN ambassador in case. I mean, then, if that woman, then that means then, yeah, Israel is finished. Because she is purely, you know, they are all in the camp of the systems. I mean, they are not part of those who love Israel. So. On campaign platform, they'll say they do, but I mean, their deeds and words behind the scenes are clearly opposing. Then North Korean defector traveled 3,000 miles as a teenager to be free to pray. At 17 years, Soo Kyung Kang took a 3,000-mile journey from North Korea to freedom because she wanted to worship God. In a new video released by Liberty in North Korea, that's Liberty in North Korea, she told her story. It began with a choice familiar to many Christians across history. Would she leave behind her family and home to worship God, or would she remain under tyranny in North Korea? And quote says, quote, "What should I do? What should I do, God? I want to be able to dream. I want to live the life I choose. But I don't want to abandon my family. What should I do?" She recalled. "In the end, I chose my dreams and freedom." And she had to migrate, I mean, illegally through to China, and then was taken to South Korea, where she can have her freedom to serve God. And she goes on to say that, quote, "Being able to worship and praise, however, I wanted in South Korea. I was so thankful for this freedom. My heart was full of gratitude," she said. "I don't think I came to South Korea without a purpose," unquote. And if people will go to this extent to be able to worship God in freedom, and we have super, super and over freedom without limits here, and what use are we making it to our lives? Good use are we putting it to? And all that, people wish they have just a fraction of the freedom we have to serve God. Just a fraction. Just even 5% to thank God for it. And we have it in excess. You know, when you see some of those videos of, you know, the Bible translators, you know, when they take Bibles to villages and remote places where they are seeing Bible for the first time, and people are crying when they hold the Bible, and it's heartbreaking. You realize, I mean, seriously, if the way God sees us, I wonder how God sees us, because others, you see the joy people express when they see the Bible for the first time and they hold it, and it's like, wow, this is too dear to them. And we have it, and it's like, oh, what's the... I mean, we don't cherish it largely. It's like, we are used to it. We have it in SS. We have different versions. We have it on our phones. We have audio Bibles, English. You know, we have, even now, we have it, and we have the variations, NIV, King James. There's various translations. They don't have... People don't even have choices. People don't have choices. There are people now, as we speak, in some of the Chinese villages and rural places, where they read the Bible. The Bible they read is copied, handwritten, hand-copied versions of the Bible that they copy. When they get an opportunity, they quickly copy and then memorize as much as they can. But you see, this is the reality. So the irony is that China is the largest, print house for the Bible. They print most of the Bibles in the world from China. But they also have it as a contraband material for the Christians. So, it's printed there, but largely, to be shipped out and exported to US and elsewhere. So you still have people, in rural China and elsewhere in China, where they read the Bible from sheets of paper that they copied. And that's what some people have. So when people go to the extremes just to have their freedom to serve God, indeed, they know the value of it. We have it, so we don't appreciate it until we lose these freedoms. Then we'll remember that we had opportunity one time and we didn't make good use of it. You know, the Bible, Jesus says that, the time comes when, the night comes when no one can work. You know, we won't have it all the time like this. A time is coming, or a time will come, when we will not be able to serve God as we wished. When our freedoms are taken away, you can't do this, you can't do... You know, we experienced a little of it during the COVID lockdown. For those who think these things are not possible, now people should know that it's possible. I mean, we had COVID, Accra is locked, Kumasi is locked, churches are closed for, 2-3 months. It happened. What can you do? The church is closed. You dare go, it's an offense. You can be arrested, taken to court, as it happened in some instances. See, so... when we say these things, it's not like, God forbid it won't happen. We saw it happening in Ghana and elsewhere. It's still happening in some countries, even now, as I talk. So it's just to give us an idea that the world is moving towards a point where these things that may look like extreme and an impossibility, it's going to happen. So if it happens, and you are not prepared emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, and all for it. It's unfortunate that some lost their faith during the COVID lockdowns. Churches not going to church. Some backslided. And it's also a worrying aspect of it, because if you can't go to church for a period and you fall out of the faith, then that means if there's a general embargo that Christianity has been outlawed, no Christianity again, don't go, church is illegal and all that. That means that you leave the faith as well. Because even when you had the luxury, quote unquote, luxury of radio, you can listen to Spirit FM, you can watch TV, pastors on TV, you can do, WhatsApp messages are flowing, people were doing Zoom meetings, Facebook Live, YouTube. There were still options in various ways. The cheapest radio, even if you don't have data, you can listen to normal radio. The preaching was, we still had the availability of the gospel or Christianity coming to us through various means, technology and all, TV and all. So when, assume it's outlawed, that means officially there can be no radio station will have to do anything Christian. No TV station will have to do anything Christian. Internet will just... Already we've started seeing how Facebook and Twitter just remove things at their will. When they think this is fake news, even when sometimes it's not fake, they say it's fake, so they remove it. They are so-called fact checkers. Sometimes I post something and days later they put a notice on it. Fact checkers. It's just a matter of time. We will move on from those places. And they choose what they think is right for people to post on their platform. A time will come, they will say, no, nothing, the word Christ, not, so anything that follows the word C-H-R-I-S-T, anything that follows that word is outlawed. So anything that follows, whether Christ or Christian or Christians or Christianity, anything is not allowed again. That's it. There will be no Facebook Live, YouTube, all videos. And just one decision. They can, all the good videos we've been watching on YouTube, gospel songs, preachings, motivation, whatever, all can be deleted one day. They can just write a script that will clear all one day. So it's just a day will come when Christianity as we know it will not be as we thought, it will be there forever for us. So that's why these are the times to stock up spiritually, build up ourselves in prayer, in word, especially the word. This is the time to stock it up a lot, because I don't mean storing Bibles physical, but stocking it up in you, hiding it in you, reading, storing up spiritually, growing in the word. This is the best time, when it seems all is well, and as I call it, the calm before the storm, looks like all is well. This is the perfect time for us to grow. And let me quickly continue. We have this headline says, the next jihad, quote unquote, the next jihad. Evangelical leader and rabbi warn about Christian genocide in Africa. The rise of violent extremist groups throughout Africa, as well as the constant attacks against Christian communities in the continent's most populated country, that's Nigeria, has religious leaders fearful that the next jihad is underway, as world leaders seem to be rushing to address the problem. Quote, I know one thing has never really changed. No one gives a damn about Africa except for their natural resources, or if there is going to be a big party because there is a peace treaty being signed, unquote, said Rabbi Abraham Cooper, director of the Global Social Action Agenda of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, a leading Jewish human rights organization with over 400,000 family members. It says that that's just the truth, and it's a terrible truth. It might be one of the vestiges, frankly, of colonialism, unquote. The Nigeria issue is really worrying, really, really worrying. I mean, the northern Nigeria, the issue is, you know, it's just unfortunate. And then the next one, China. They have authorities raid church and confiscate Bibles and detain members. So,
is it this year?
Oh, yeah. A church plant of a heavily persecuted Early Rain Covenant Church was raided by authorities in China's Taiyuan and Shanxi province, who then detained the pastor and six other members. Persecution Watchdog International Christian Concern reports that on November 15th, officials from the Public Security Bureau, Ethnic and Religious Affairs Bureau, and then the Ministry of Civil Affairs and the police station raided the Zhongsheng Church during its morning Sunday service. The public service security commander confiscated the cell phone of the presider before demanding that Brother Zhang Shengao go with them. After the service, the commander and staff from the Ethnic and Religious Affairs Bureau questioned Pastor Ang Yangku's qualifications, asking whether his credentials were approved by the state and whether their gathering was registered with the government. Though they failed to provide an arrest warrant, authorities then took the pastor away. They then posted disbandment notice on the house church's door, preventing people from recording the incident, and confiscated the members' cell phones. They also recorded everyone's personal information and confiscated Bibles, hymnals, and choir robes. Police interrogated the Christians and attempted to mislead them into disclosing unfavorable information about their church, according to ICC. Authorities then transferred the believers to another facility where they were asked to change into prison uniforms and handcuffed in detention room. After several hours, the Christians were permitted to change back into their clothes and asked to and asked to each provide a statement. These believers were released around 9:30 p.m. You know, the frustration and the persecution of Christians in China is on the ascendancy this year. This current, leader, he stepped it up, more laws, and the clampdown is on in some states or provinces where people are even paid for snitching on Christians. So you go and report and you are giving money for snitching on Christians and all that. So it makes it lucrative to go and report people, the home church or house churches in your area, in your community, or in your flats, apartments. And it's going on. But as this happens, the church is still growing stronger and larger in China. That's the amazing part when it comes to persecution. While the persecution goes on, the numbers are growing in China. Okay, we have Church of England. This news is heartbreaking. Church of England begins review of marriage and sexuality and calls for honest discussion. They want an honest discussion. There's no need to debate. There's no need to review, because that's the honest discussion. The Bible is clear about it. But they say they want an honest discussion. The Church of England announced that it's going to begin a formal, quote, discernment. The word discernment, discernment and decision-making, unquote, process about, quote, again, about a way forward for the church, unquote, in regards to its teachings on sex, sexuality, and marriage. Sex, sexuality, and marriage are well defined in the Bible. Clearly spoken from the Old Testament to the New Testament, is clearly stated from John, from the words of Jesus through to Paul, from Moses' time and all through. It's clearly stated in the Bible. So what is the modernization again to discuss these things? So the church leaders are aiming to come to a conclusion on the long debated issues by 2022. So they have 3 years, now to 2022. You see, as soon as a church says they are going to review, discuss and review, it means they are going to change. Because as soon as the decision to even go this way means they are going to go the LGBTQ way. It's unfortunate, but you see, it tells you how the church is falling. For you to even think about it, clearly the thought alone is off in the first place. So if you are going to review it, then there's a big problem there, and that's it. What is there to review? The word of God is there. You don't have to modify, you don't have to add, you don't have to remove, according to Revelation 22. And so if they are to review it, that means they are going to most likely going to have the LGBTQ being accepted and endorsed. At least, fortunately, the African group of the Anglican Church are not in support of what the Western group have been doing with the LGBTQ thing. So the African group has vehemently opposed this LGBT things in their ranks, and that's one good thing. At least we should keep it going. 30-year military chaplain fired from Air Force and his crime, biblical views on sexual morality. So after being the Air Force for 30 years, this chaplain is indirectly pushed out because he preached about sexual sins. And you preach to 2,500 people in a room and only one of them makes a complaint, and that complaint is used against you, and eventually you are frustrated and pushed out of the Air Force. This is persecution, which is happening in a country like America. But that's it. Christians are really being pushed to defend their faith in various countries where you thought they had freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and freedom of religion and all. But it's happening. Persecution is rife in various countries, various places. And, we share these things so that it lets us understand that what we have, the freedoms we have now, we shouldn't take it for granted, because what others are going through is not a simple thing. And that's it. So for your faith, you lose, you serve for 30 years and you are pushed out. It's very, very painful. But that's the world we live in now. Then in Israel, this one, defense minister gives an order where parent one and parent two, instead of father and mother, is to be on documents. So defense minister orders wedding, the wedding, that's the words in hundreds of defense ministry forms changed, although the Knesset, that's their parliaments, rejected a similar bill. So defense minister Benny Gantz instructed to replace the failed father and mother in all forms used by defense ministry to parent one and parent two. According to Galais Chahal reports, hundreds of forms in all branches of the ministry will soon be changed in accordance with the minister's decree. And you know, parent one, parent two, that's so to cater for gays and lesbians who are parents. You know, this is the world we live in. The society is going off by the day. And then last week I spoke about the Massachusetts lawmakers who are pushing to pass a late-term abortion through their budgets. And they have indeed passed the amendment to allow late-term abortion and remove parental consent. And that's even where my worry is. Lawmakers in Massachusetts have agreed an amendment to the state's budget that would loosen abortion restrictions to allow late-term abortions and remove parental consent required for underage girls. The amendment, known as Amendment 759 in Massachusetts House of Representatives and Amendment 180 in Massachusetts Senate, was crafted after efforts to pass a standalone bill liberalizing the state's abortion laws failed to gain traction. The amendment would change Massachusetts' abortion law to allow late-term abortions and repeal parental consent laws. Under the current law, only a physician can perform an abortion in MA. MA is Massachusetts, a short form. However, the budget amendment passed by state lawmakers would enable physician assistants, nurse practitioners, or midwives to perform abortions. Massachusetts law currently states that, quote, if a pregnancy has existed for 24 weeks or more, no abortion may be performed except by a physician, and only if it's necessary to save the life of the mother, or if the continuation of her pregnancy will impose on her a substantial risk of grave impairment of her physical or mental health, unquote. Should the amendment pass by the legislature and become law, abortions will be permitted after 24 weeks if, quote, in the best medical judgment of the physician, an abortion is warranted because of a lethal, fetal and anomaly that is incompatible with sustained life outside the uterus, unquote. While current MA law requires physicians performing abortions to preserve the life and health of the child, the amendment will remove that requirement, only requiring the presence of life-supporting equipment in the room where abortion would take place. In addition, the requirement for girls younger than 18 to obtain parental consent for an abortion will be amended to allow a judge to authorize a medical professional to perform an abortion on a girl younger than 16 if she does not want to seek a parent's consent. In the past, Baker has expressed opposition to late-term, that's the governor, late-term abortions, stressing his support for the existing abortion laws in the state, which he said worked well for decades for women and families here in MA, and on and on. You know, these things go a long way to affect other countries, because you see, you know, America is more of like a role model in a whole lot of things in the world. So that's why when you have some of these laws being pushed through some states and all that, some states, some countries also start making references to it, as you know, if it's happening there, it can happen here, those type of things. And you know, it's just unfortunate, but that's the world, this world we find ourselves in, where you know, sin has no longer become something, I mean, something that is, people don't have conscience again when it comes to what is wrong, and they will justify it and defend it. You know, you have a minister, a pastor, so-called pastor in the U.S. who is standing for Senate. And, you know, he's vehemently defending abortion, that it's biblical, I mean, God supports it, and it's not a sin, it's okay. You know, when you see such things, it tells you people, we've moved into a point where there's no conscience again, and we are just moving on autopilot. Because under what condition can you, justify the fact that it's a good thing to kill? Not even for, like, in the case of even preserving the life of the mother, in case of, health issues and all, but defending all that God has no problem with any form of abortion in whatever case. Oh, that's the world we live in, where pastors, recently or last year, a group of pastors went to an abortion clinic to dedicate it and were praying, and I said, praying to who and praying for what? You know, this is the level to which the church is falling. Because, you go to pray, to which God? Are you not afraid of God?
Abortion.
There's no fear of God again. You see, for those who don't understand, abortion is child sacrifice. Sacrificing to all sorts of deities. But, blood sacrifice, child sacrifice, and all, baby sacrifice is what has been modernized now to, under the name abortion, and then they will brand it and say it's like, mothers, the woman's health is, so it's their choice. If she chooses to live without it, yes, anytime she's permitted to do so. And those who have listened to this issues program, I think two or three times where I've read the Exitanist message on abortion, where he described what they do and the dangers and all that. They cherish and relish it. The Satanists cherish and relish it. It's not just a medical procedure. Some benefits from it in the spiritual realm, physically and spiritually, because all sorts of things happen in some of those clinics in the nights and all. So it's not just, it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters a lot. Child sacrifice is a great, great, great sin before God. So never be deceived by the word abortion. It's child sacrifice that is being done. It's a very serious thing. Then, no, but it's the death. What's the? Killing, every killing, it doesn't matter whether by poison or by using a knife or gun. Killing is killing. LGBT group urges Joe Biden, to strip accreditation of Christian schools with biblical beliefs. Starting. One of the leading national LGBT activist organizations is urging presumptive President-elect Joe Biden and his administration to advance policies that will strip Christian colleges that uphold values and stances that oppose homosexuality of their accreditation. The request was part of the Human Rights Campaign's Blueprint for Positive Change, a recent document which offers 85 policy and legislative recommendations for a potential Biden administration. The document comes as Biden pledged throughout the 2020 campaign to advance LGBT equality in the U.S. and around the world. In the U.S. and around the world. When he was saying these things, and when I hear Christians supporting, I just wonder. It's either you are ignorant or you are spiritually blind, so you don't understand the repercussions of these things. One of the recommendations, when they say, when he said it, that he's going to promote it around the world, they mean it. They don't. They just don't joke with this. They know what they are doing. You see, and when it comes to promoting around the world, they know how to promote these things around the world, where they can sometimes link these things to, as conditions in grants and whatever projects and all. If you don't, then this. So, the if clauses are put in. Things which ideally would have gotten it without any conditions, then you have a condition there that says if you don't allow them their freedom of practice and all, then you can you lose this grant. These are the things they do. They've been pushing things in their favor, but when it comes to this LGBT thing, I don't believe this is something which should be encouraged, and that's it. And so they want Christian schools to lose their accreditation. So universities and Bible colleges and, you know, Christian schools that stand on biblical grounds when it comes to these things, they would want them to lose their accreditation. That's what these people are pushing for. It's all persecution in disguise, directly and indirectly. And it tells you the times we are in. The times we are in. The freedoms that Christians have, you think it's there forever, it may not be there forever. These are the times to get serious with the Lord. These are the times to grow in the Lord. These are the times to get deeper in the Word of God.
I'll
be back after this song. The blood is only the blood.
Only the blood. Just about.
Well, there are a couple of houses where the people look really comfortable. I hated to bother them.
What?
Well, one house was getting ready to have dinner. You know how rude it is to be interrupted during dinner.
The Bible says that there will come a time when people who do not believe in Jesus will stand before God and face an eternity in hell.
Look, that tanker is going to explode. Do your job, get in there, and tell those people they're in danger.
Oh, can't we send someone else? I feel really awkward telling people, get out now before your house explodes. I mean, who's going to believe that?
Because Jesus died for us, we can escape an eternal punishment in hell by having faith in Him. If you're not telling others about this good news, what excuses are you using? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Welcome to the Temple Treasury with Bob and Jay.
That's right, Bob. We're waiting for the rich man to arrive.
Boy, listen to that crowd roar.
Yes, the rich man is a favorite around here.
He and his servants are approaching the money bin. Wow, listen to that money pour in.
That's because he uses coins to emphasize how much he's giving.
Look, here comes the official judge's score.
What? I don't believe this. He scored zero?
The crowd's not happy at all about this one. Oh, wait. There seems to be an elderly woman approaching the money bin.
And I think she's the widow that lives near here. She sure doesn't bring much fanfare.
Actually, I don't think anyone's aware she's down there. She's dropping in what seems to be two silver coins.
No, Bob, those are copper coins.
Pennies? She's only giving pennies? Oh, wait, the judge is giving her a score.
A 10? What she gave barely compares to the rich man.
Boy, that judge must have a different standard than we do.
When it comes to what you give to God, how do you score? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
All right, welcome back to Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3. This is Eben. I'm the studio brother. My full brother, Yao, is in Accra. He'll be joining us via phone, I think, in the next 10 minutes or so. Only the blood. If there was ever a time we need to really believe in the blood, and these are the times. You know, the song says, you know, holiness is your life in me, making me clean through your blood. Holiness is your fire in me, purging my heart like a flood. I know you are perfect in holiness, your life in me, setting me free, making me holy. Only the blood of Jesus covers all of my sin. Only the life of Jesus renews me from within. Your blood is enough, your mercy complete, your work of atonement paid for my debts, making me holy. Only the blood of Jesus. And you know, we've entered, you know, the season. On the surface, things may look like it's normal season, things are normal, but in the spiritual realm, things are not normal. Things are shaping up in a way which demands that we renew our commitments to God, we renew our work with the Lord, because if we don't strengthen ourselves now, things coming, you know, you don't need to be a prophet or whatever to foresee that this world is not going to get any better. I mean, it's just obvious and it's just clear. I mean, the world is not going to get any better. So if you look ahead of the times we are in, you can easily gauge and know that you just have to get stronger in the Lord to keep you in the times coming, because evil is rising. I mean, it's obvious. Crime is increasing in various ways worldwide, in various countries. I mean, it varies from country to country, of course, but even in our little country here, Ghana, I mean, you hear some of the crimes and you just marvel, you know. So much lawlessness. You know, this week I heard of someone, traffic altercation, talking, got angry, went to pull out a gun, shot the person 3 times in the stomach. I mean, I say here. Come on, say. Yeah. You know, things like this, you hear it. You see, so, you know, people are just, they're just, you know, callous. Shoot someone, now eventually both of them have died. But, you see, it tells you that we've gotten to the point where people don't mind killing you. People don't mind. They are heartless. They don't care. You see, whatever the voices they hear, they just act on it. So if a voice says, do this, the person will do it. Huh. And see, these are the times we should then be more careful to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to live as Christians. Because the world is getting darker and darker by the day. So it's important we renew our strength in the Lord. And you just can't renew your strength by just walking and just saying, I'm a Christian. No, these are not the times to just walk around as, call yourself Christian as just a slogan and just move around just like that. You know, let me read First John, Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need the word more than ever before. You know, so many Christians, the problem with Christianity today is the lack of the word of God in us. I mean, unfortunately, there are a lot of churches these days where they don't even do teaching meetings. They don't teach about the Bible. It's just preachings that they preach about. I mean, Sunday preaching, evening meetings, in the course of the week is all preaching. But teaching, because there's a difference between preaching and teaching. I mean, they're not the same. So many churches don't have teaching meetings. And even when those that have to, people don't even go. And even if they are not going, if they even study it on their own, too, that's also another case. But logically, you realize there's a missing link between most Christians and their knowledge of the Word of God. So people just call themselves Christians, but they have no word in them. They are shallow, they are empty. And it is dangerous because without the foundation being grounded in the Word of God, it's just like Jesus said, if you don't, the one who builds his house upon the rock and the one who builds his house upon the sand, when the storms come, and the storms are going to come, for that one, it's the Word of God is clear, the storms will come. When the storms come and you are not grounded in the Word on the rock, which is Jesus, you'll be blown away. Your building will sink. Your spiritual building will sink and collapse. But the one who is grounded will endure it, will be able to overcome it. You see, it's important now more than ever before because of the things unfolding right before our eyes. We are seeing the Bible virtually living out, right? We are seeing it unfolding. I mean, you look at the news, you look at the things happening, and it's just clear. The Bible warned us about things to come, and we are seeing it happening. Persecution will increase, the love of many will grow cold. We are seeing it happening. You see, so when you see these things unfolding, it should be a guide and a warning that we have to wake up from our spiritual slumber. We cannot go on as we've been. Yes, years back, you may not have been a serious Christian. We've been lukewarm. We sin a little back in Christ, sin a little back in, you know, just swinging. You are here, you are there, not stable in Christ. But we are getting to the point where we should redefine our love for God, our love for the, I mean, our work with the Lord. I mean, we should redefine everything about us regarding our spiritual life, rededicate ourselves back into the fold. Because you cannot be going in and out, in and out. One day you go out and you can't come in again. It will be too late. Because, I mean, you can't guarantee tomorrow. Our life is not ours to hold forever. We can't guarantee even the next minute. You see, so we cannot just be playing in and out, because one day you go out, you can't come in again, it will be too late. These are the times to hold on firmly to what we believe in, to hold on firmly to our faith, and to be ready to defend our faith even to the peril of our lives. When you hear about this, I mean, Chinese Christians, what is happening in India, we read these things, these news and all that, the persecution that Christians in Nigeria and elsewhere are facing, it should just alert us and encourage us to the point where, should we also get to that point, these things should come to our remembrance, to know that some people were able to, so can we also. You see, that's why it's important to know these things, like in, understand the times we are living in and what is happening, so that, you see, there are some who, when the persecution comes, they feel God has neglected them and they give up the faith. But when we understand it, that indeed God has not neglected us, but he said these things will happen for those who follow him. You'll be persecuted for my name's sake. So when you are being persecuted, you should know that it is, I mean, the fact that you are a Christian, that's why you are being persecuted. But we shouldn't lose sight of the eternal glory ahead, the eternal rewards ahead. Most times you are looking at the comforts now. Yes, you can be comfortable today and comfortable throughout your life, yes, but still miss heaven. What is the use of having a comfortable life on earth and missing heaven? What is the use? Because at the end of the day, I mean, you've lost it in life, because life as it is does not end. We should just focus ourselves on that, but our life does not end. It's just a continuous something. You are alive today. If you are out of this earth, you are not dead forever in terms of your life ends, like a chicken. When you kill a chicken, that's the life ends. Chicken is not, that is finished. But you have a soul which does not die. So you, the real your life continues in eternity. But either way, whether you are going to the left or you are going to the right, whether heaven or hell, all those things follow. But life continues. So if, I mean, it's clear, I mean, Hebrews 9:27 is appointed. But after the judgment. So if you are dying forever and there's no, who are you going to, what, I mean, what is God going to judge? But the fact that you'll be alive in another realm makes it possible for you to be judged. So when you are aware that we are not just living on this earth and enjoy life and just vanish into thin air one day and that's it, life continues. So we should always not lose, we should not lose sight of eternity. We lose sight of eternity too often as Christians, and that's where the challenge is. Hello. Brother, good evening.
Hello, Robert. Good evening.
How is Accra?
And by the grace of Jesus, we're doing well.
We thank God. Yeah, so you can join us. In the course of the news, I was talking about, you know, this great reset and how they are using the vaccine and all these things coming up and all. But I said that we serve a God who knew ahead of time that we will get to a point like this in a certain time in life. So he's been giving warnings in the word of God to his prophets and all. And I believe it's important we share some of these things, because this is the time we can share it to our listeners. A time will come when it will be outlawed. We can't talk about the vaccine. As you know, last week I sent you a link after the program.
a news link where they started talking about the fact that it should be criminalized to talk against the vaccine. I hope you saw it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, so far as we have life now and we have the opportunity to talk and warn about, I mean, these things, we shouldn't lose such opportunities to warn our listeners about what the Lord has said about these things. And that's the sense for which we bring these things to our listeners. And so you can start from your end. Yeah.
Reverend, we say good evening and we give glory to the Lord God Almighty, Christ Jesus. We thank Jesus every word we speak on this platform, Spirit FM. That is, every word we speak on this program, Issues of Life, we're going to be dead.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm very much happy about. And we thank God he has given this opportunity. As you said, these are the times we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Time getting so soon is going to be outlawed. It doesn't matter how much money you have, we cannot get access to preach on radio stations again. That is the time the Lord said in Amos chapter 8, 11.
Mm-hmm.
The time is coming, he's going to send hunger and test upon the land. No farming of the food or test of water, but of hearing the word of God.
Yeah.
Because the time is coming, the true men of God, true women of God, cannot operate churches again openly, cannot preach on radio, cannot preach on TV. They will be off social media. And even their phones, they are going to hijack their phones, cannot even talk on phone. During that time, it is the false prophet and the false churches. They will be on TV. They will be on radio. They will be on social media just to deceive the people. If there is any time to prepare as a Christian, this is the time. As you were talking, you said something. We need to get the word of God inside us. Not just getting the Bible, buying them, putting them down. What if your house is burnt? What happens?
Yeah.
Getting the Bibles, putting them down is good. But the best you can do is to get the Bible inside you. Especially with King James Bible, get some and put it down. The time is coming, they're not going to be available on the market. But when you get it, let it stay in you. Read it. Let the word stay in you. Because the time is coming, you're going to survive only on the word that is in you.
Yeah.
Just this week, I shared a message, a prophecy, a dream my sister got in January 29th from Germany. She spoke in Ghana, and I translated it into English and G. Where the Lord told her, us at that time, she had a revelation, and when the tribulation was starting, she was looking for Bible, and the Lord said, are you now looking for Bible?
Hmm.
What is inside you, that is what you're going to depend on. So this is the time. Do whatever you need to do to get the word of God inside you. And by the grace of Jesus, even our time, our local language like Chi, we have the recorded versions of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We have the audio versions. We have English. And I know a lot of the local languages, Bible Society of Ghana, they have recorded it. Go find some. The same way we learn Satawale, Sakodi, and others. We should get some of these audio Bibles and be listening to them day in and day out instead of listening to junk on radio and stupid things on radio. It gets to the afternoon, evening, you'll be working. People are listening to useless programs which has nothing to do with salvation. And you have Christians and even holiness people listening to it. Because we should get the time to get the word of God in us now. Because the time is coming, you'll be on your own. I will be running somewhere. Mm-hmm. You didn't get me. No,
yeah.
I'm running for my life.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, it will be God for us all, each one for himself.
Yeah.
I remember sometime last week, somebody asked me, so in the case something is happening, you and your wife, I said, I'll run and leave her. Oh, yes. And the person, I said, yes, I'll run and leave my wife. Because I have a job to do. I need to ensure I finish that job. If as at that time my wife is delaying, I'll tell her, take the lead. They will kill you for you to go to heaven earlier. I will come and meet you later. So this is the time to get ourselves prepared. Don't let anything distract you, please. The worldly things, the money, please, please, please. You are about to run and leave your properties. This is what is coming. If they bring the vaccine and you say, I say we cannot take it, we wouldn't take it. Do you think they will allow you to stay in your house? They will come and arrest you. So what will you do? When you want to escape arrest, what do? You run. So a time is coming, nobody will plead with you. You will run and leave the mansions and the cars. Because that time, security and others. So you wouldn't want to be noticed. You will leave your cars. Stop wasting time on earthly properties now. Your money's in the bank. You are going to run to leave it. A time is coming. You will choose between your properties and your salvation. You will choose between these two, one of them. Your properties and your salvation, we are all going to choose between. That is why, if I have any property now, I should use it for the work of God. Find some orphans, some widows, find some men and women of God who are preaching the word of God, TV, radio program, which is really helping people to repent. Go and support all of them. Use the money to do that, because if not, because of your money in the bank, a time is coming, you're going to take the mark of the beast. I'm about to read some prophecies. I'll read two from Rema Aguilar. I'll read another one I just saw this evening concerning the coming vaccine. I'll be doing a message on the vaccine very soon. Because we need to do it fast, because the time is coming. As you said, the anti-vax laws are coming. The time is coming, they're going to outlaw it. So this is the only time we are free to talk about it. Yeah. When we talk about it, we know you brand us. You say these people lie scaring people. For now, we will not talk. No one looked like a bastard when he was preparing the ark. When he was preaching repentance, he looked like a bastard and a non-entity until the rain started to come and got to the knee of human beings and started to grow to get to their neck. Now they saw no one was sensible. So men and women of God who are called of God, who are truly doing the work, that we should warn people, say what God gives you. Don't be afraid. That will even let us, we lose a lot of friends, a lot of associates. Don't care about it. If you lose the entire world and Jesus is on your side, be okay.
Yeah,
that is all you need to do. Lose the whole world and let Jesus be on your side. We're going to preach the word of God. And the reason why majority are not getting this is the false doctrine of rapture before tribulation. This is the major cause of what is happening. Anybody have that illusion, having that lie that rapture will happen before the tribulation? Forget about it. You can never understand the end times, what is happening. You can never. This is what the Lord Jesus said, I should tell you. As I'm speaking to you, I've started on Facebook. The Lord said, do Facebook audio, great tribulation and rapture. I've done part one and part two. We'll be doing about 12 lessons. Every day the Lord gives us the opportunity, we will be recording and putting there, and we will send the others through WhatsApp. Those who are on WhatsApp list, we will send it to them. If you like, take it. We care less. At least we are doing our part. Now let's read this prophecy. Prophecy number 69, given to Raymond Aguilera on the 29th of May, 1992. We are in 2020. 28 years ago. This man I'm talking about, he is not popular. He has over 2,400 prophecies to his credit. As I speak now, it's around 76 years he lives in America. Let's read this prophecy. It was given to him, as I said, 29th May 1992 at 11:11 a.m. It was a Friday. And this message was given to him in English and tongues. And I read, I love you. Things are going smooth right now. But remember, there is going to be a time of tribulation, trials, that you really won't be able to understand. But remember, the day is approaching where everything is going to close. The law that was stated in the Bible about the end times is going to be fulfilled, as it was stated in the Bible. For the hour and the day is approaching at a very rapid rate. The realization that your world is going to confuse many of you. For that idea seems incomprehensible, for you are complacent in your day-to-day activities. You are set in your way of life, but it is all coming to a close. The last big war will be fought. He said, to be fought will happen in your lifetime. So be prepared. Be strong. Practice the word of God. In your everyday living, practice the rules, the regulations that are stated in the Bible. Look to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Look to the Holy Spirit to guide you. Look to me to listen to your prayers, for the day of the beast is here. Acts 19:92. The Lord Jesus Christ sent this message through Raymond Aguilera. The name of the prophet is Raymond Aguilera. Raymond, you can spell Aguilera, is A-G-U-I-L-E-R-A. A-G-U-I-L-E-R-A. He say, the day of the beast is here. If as in 1992, the day of the beast, the Lord gave this to his children that the day of the beast is here, why are pastors saying the beast will not come to meet us? It's sad. Let's continue. The day of this coronation, that is coronation of the beast, will begin when the hornet and the beetle clash. As the hornet and the beetle, I don't know what it represents. I'm reading it as it is. The outcome of the battle will establish the authority and the power of the beast, which will begin the beginning of the end. Many are going to be confused, for it will happen very fast. The one who will be saved are the ones who listens to the prophets and to the just and the righteous word of Jesus Christ, Jehovah, and the Holy Ghost. Only those that will listen to the real prophets and that will listen to the just and righteous word of Jesus, Jehovah and the Holy Ghost, they are the only people who can be saved. But here we are in churches. Jesus said great tribulation before rapture. We say no, we don't like it. How are we going to be saved? Let's continue. For what you see in the near future is the beginning of the end. The end of the ones that are not Christians. Don't believe in my son that he died on the cross for them. The ones who don't believe, it will be an end for them. But the ones who believe, it is just the beginning of everlasting peace and joy in heaven forever. I know this sounds like just empty promises, words without authority, but it is the truth. Jehovah says nothing but the truth. So remember that when the end comes, everyone that has ever existed will have to take an account of their life, of how they behaved in regard to their God and their brethren and sisters. For nothing was created for evil, but Satan corrupted the seed. Now that the day of judgment is at a point, it is so close to your timetable of life. For some of you will follow Satan to the end, to the place appointed. The ones who blaspheme my name, my son, and the Holy Spirit. And the others, the ones who follow my son, that have, he said, that have died, and that have been tortured, and that have been stabbed, and that have suffered through the years, through sicknesses, through times of tribulations, from their neighbors, from government, from conceivable sources, that the enemy Satan has dished out to them, they are going forever and ever with me. Those who have suffered for God, are there surprised people continue to see that they will come and enjoy 1,000 years with Jesus? But they forgot what Revelation chapter 20 verse 4 says. Revelation 24 verse 4, Hebrews. The people that are going to reign with Christ are those who were slaughtered and slain for Christ, who did not receive the mark, who did not bow to the beast. They are the people, according to the Bible, who reign 1,000 years with Jesus. But you say it will not meet you here and you still want to reign with Jesus. How come? Let's continue. I know the ones who are listening to this little prophecy are going to say, there is another note speaking about the end times. But that is okay. We know it is their end. So let them say, let them think anything they want. But you, the ones who are listening and reading and looking for answers to salvation, open the Bible and read it. When it continues, brethren. It's a very long distance. Let me go to the one which has to do with the mark. He said, I love you with all my heart. You will have to trust me. Make yourself strong and obey the law of Christ. There will be a day and a time that the beast and his followers will persecute you. As at 1992, 29th May, the Lord Jesus Christ told one of his prophets that the beast and his followers will persecute the church. And we are in 2020. The church, including all of us holiness people, majority of us are saying the beast will not come and meet us here. Which Bible are we reading? Let's continue. He will do anything he can to destroy you mentally, physically, spiritually, for the day of the beast is at hand. But remember, all power and the glory and praises goes to Jehovah, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. For the number of the beast will be implemented on the weak, on the sinful. There are two categories of people who receive the mark of the beast: meek, the weak, and the sinful. Anybody living in sin, it doesn't matter if you are in church or not. And the weak, weak in faith, weak in the word of God, because you'll be deceived. Satan comes with deception. Lest I forget, today I had a dream. I don't get dreams and remember.
Yeah.
I had a dream, but one of the faces I saw in the dream, I remember that face was Barack Obama. And he was leading a team coming, and it was like procession, like the way Jesus came into Jerusalem, and everybody was spreading the cloth. I was part of the people. We were all taken aback, and the kind of music they were playing, we were all dancing. All of a sudden, they clicked me. Ah, is it not the beast and his people coming? This is what I saw in the dream. Immediately I wake up. I don't dream and remember. Yeah. I'm not somebody who is a fan of dreams. I will get up and know I've dreamed, I've forgotten. But today I remember this dream. And the Lord said, this is how the deception is coming.
Yeah.
It will be very thick. It will take those that trust in me and obey me to recognize it. If not, all of you are going to be deceived. Just today, I'm talking about today, I had this dream today, 21st of November, 2020. Let's continue to read it. It said, do not, I repeat again, do not take the sign of the beast. For if you do, you will find no salvation. You will not find salvation. I state it again. What I'm reading is exactly how it is written before me. It's not that I am repeating myself.
Yeah.
He said, I state it again. Do not take the sign of the beast. No matter how hard it gets. No matter how easy it gets, if you value, and I mean if you value your future, do not take the mark of the beast, for you will be condemned to the valley of death for eternity. So if this mark of the beast will not meet us, why would Jesus Christ in 1992 give it to somebody to tell the church? Let's continue. This is the most blasphemous thing you could ever do to your Lord Jehovah, and I will not forgive you. When the sign of the beast is issued, listen to this, you run and you hide. Do whatever you have to do, but do not take the sign of the beast. Was it not what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, Matthew 24 from 15 down to 28? He said, when you see the abomination of desolation standing at where it ought not to stand, let he that readeth understand. And now they that are in the bush do not come home. Those that are in the housetop do not come down. Is it not what he's repeating to Raymond here? When they begin, he said, run and hide. This was 1992 to one of the prophets of our time. And you are saying it will not come to meet us. Please, let's put that pride aside. Go back into the Bible in prayer and in fasting.
Yeah.
If you want the audios about Great Tribulation, we can send it to you free of charge. Write this number, 0204-200-444. We have the English version available. We have the tree version, and now we are doing new ones on Facebook. We will give it to you free. Learn it and let's correct ourselves. That's all. I don't have a church. I don't go to church. I don't belong to any church. So why must I come to lie to you about Great Tribulation? He said, run and hide and do not take it. Then he continues, I think I have stated it enough. I think I have made it simple and clear, direct. I will repeat it one more time. Do not take the sign of the beast, for you will find the valley of death for eternity. This is one of the prophecies. Now let me just take a little again. Another prophecy, number 71. Prophecy number 71, the same Ramon Aguilera. This one was given on the 1st of June, 1992. At 1:22 a.m. 1st June 1992 at 1:22 a.m. I just want to read the part which is related to the mark. He said, for what I say will be done without any change of any kind. The Antichrist, the false prophet, will appear at the appointed time, and they will be defeated exactly as stated. So beware of the mark of the beast. For the significance of the mark on your body will not be forgiven under any circumstances. For the mark represents total defiance of my law, total defiance of moral code, total defiance of the written law. The mark of the beast represents the side that you are placing your allegiance to, and anyone that is not clean does not belong to Jehovah. My son Jesus Christ of Nazareth has the authority to liquidate, abolish, destroy, bind, and cast anyone with the mark of the beast. Then he say, the existence of Gehenna will be established for the new inhabitants that took the mark of the beast at the allowed time, for their help in rebellion and in following Lucifer in his plan to defile my name and what I created. That is another prophecy. Let me just read an excerpt of another prophecy. This one from different person. Yeah, let me see. Okay. There is a lot. Let me read it. This one was given to a sister by name Happiness Obanji. I Banji. AIBANGBYE. Some of the prophecies so far this lady have brought. So far. Before election of Donald Trump and Biden. Around January, February, this lady gave prophecies that the Lord said Donald Trump will not get a second term. Biden will win. So far, we are waiting for 20th. If by 20th, what is happening now continue to happen, then definitely it's Biden. So this prophecy we're giving, please, let's all pray about it. Now, she gave a prophecy concerning corona testing on the 23rd of May, 2020, on Facebook. Happiness. Her name is Happiness. I bang B or I bang G. That is AIBANGBYE. And I read, the Lord said, daughter, Yeah, so the title is Coronavirus Testing. He said, the Lord said, daughter, this is not right. My people must avoid it. I will show them that is all they can rely on. Because of time, I'm just picking and choosing. He said, the Lord said, that participating in the testing of the virus will endanger his children's lives. Because then the Lord said, look. Then he said, the Lord began to show me another brother. He said, another brother, a vision. This is the vision the brother saw. He saw a vision of cars that were stopped. And the medical personnel used a machine to scan those who were in the car. After scanning the cars, they were allowed to go. But when it got to a particular man, the medical personnel looked at him and said, this one is infected with the virus. They took the man to the hospital, and the nurse who attended to him poisoned him and then made a fake certificate of death, which stated that the man died of coronavirus. Then the Lord began to address me and said, daughter, this is happening already in many countries, especially in Africa. Most personnel are demonically inspired and are able to spiritually discern a child of God when they see them. The Lord also showed another vision of many medical personnel, this time round with the fierce-looking armed soldiers. They will stop the cars. Afterwards, the medical personnel will go to the cars and carry out scanning of the occupants of the car. Once they are done with the scanning, another medical personnel will come with a syringe and inject the individuals already scanned with the corona vaccine. As the process continued, a man came along and agreed to be scanned but refused to take the vaccine. On seeing this, the medical personnel invited the soldiers, who not only slapped the fellow, but went ahead and opened the car door roughly, manhandled him, and dragged him out of the car. They began to kick him, to slap him, and to beat him up mercilessly, at the same time shouting at him, saying, so you don't want to take the vaccine? Don't, he said, do you want to give everybody the coronavirus? As a result of the severe beating, the man relented and was pleading to be given the vaccine, screaming, please give it to me. Please give it to me. This is what she saw. Let's see another one. I just got this prophecy. It's just today. I just said it. But it was given on the 2nd of October, 2020. But it was posted on 444 Prophecy News. 444 Prophecy, you know, sometimes I go there for prophecy, but sometimes, you know, for them, everything prophecy, they accept it. So if the person is not much grown, I don't tell the person to go there. Because if you don't have the word of God, the same way God is giving prophecies, Satan is also giving prophecies. So if you are not able to cross-check every prophecy, you will go there and even you may see that some of the prophecies seems to be contradicting each other. But I picked this one. It was given to a sister by name Esther Eagle. That is Esther Eagle. He said, COVID-19 vaccination means death. COVID-19 vaccination means death. I was praying and fasting. He said, I was praying and fasting regarding the COVID-19 vaccine during the time I received this dream. In my dream, God took me to, he said, into the near future of America. I was overlooking America like a bird's eye view. And I looked to many, to my right of America, the east side, and overlooking New York State as well. As I saw millions of people in America had received the COVID-19 vaccine. And also throughout America, I could see 5G towers monitoring very closely the COVID-19 vaccines individuals, that's the vaccinated individuals. When I saw this, immediately I asked God, how are they completely connected to 5G towers and the towers to them? He said, right after I asked God this, he took me into a hospital in New York. There I saw a doctor giving a patient COVID-19 vaccine. The doctor and the patients couldn't see me. That's in. But while the doctor was injecting into the patient's arm the COVID-19 vaccine shot, I saw hundreds and thousands of little specks of microchips, that is nanobots, inside the COVID-19 vaccine flowing through the shot into the individual. You see, and the dream went on. One thing got my attention immediately was that the people who are taking the COVID-19 vaccine, their whole body was glowing an odd color green. I asked God, what does this mean? And I saw the word radioactive. And upon seeing this, I also saw that they had extra super dark energy, that is super demonic energy, attached to them. Also, the word legion was written all over them as well. That is legion. Then he said, the Lord took me up higher in a dream, again in a bird's view, but overlooking America. And millions of people who are proud, he said, who are proudly, were COVID-19 vaccinated and being controlled by 5G towers, began to grow to be very violent and aggressive. Very beast-like. In fact, the news called it an outbreak. And that those same people, those with COVID-19 vaccine in their blood, were deemed incurable. This COVID-19 vaccinated individual, this is a dream somebody saw about the future. He said, were everywhere. When the outbreak occurred, there was no line they were not willing to cross. Be it in violence, murder, mayhem, raging, etc. They were completely and utterly out of hand. I was taken to a very disturbing scene. A major city in the mid-eastern side of America were infested with these incurables. They were literally running over many on all four, just like this. So they were running on their hands and legs, like the way goats and dogs walk. They were running out of the city that they are probably taking over. I saw thousands laying dead all over the street of that city, and the smell was very horrible. This is what the Lord has revealed to people. The Lord is revealing a lot. And there are a lot of prophecies. Let me ask. There have been verses here and there.
Oh, yeah.
Why were they not hula baloos and much noise about the verses? Mm-hmm. Why this one?
Yeah.
Why will presidents go and sign a verse they have not even yet found?
Ahead of time.
What is the pressure? What is motivating them? A verse they don't know the content. The other time somebody was telling me, but we also have doctor. When he come, they will try it. I say, how come? Your president have already your president for. The president who is the head of the nation, I've not even seen the content. He assigned for it. What can doctors do? Mm-hmm. What can they say? If you come and a doctor, you want to do it, they are going to sabotage you. If even you don't take time, they are going to kill you. The vaccine is coming, it's compulsory. That is why they set up the law about the chip, how do we call it? The nose mask.
Yeah.
The nose mask is compulsory. Why would the vaccine not be compulsory? The same process the nose mask passed and became compulsory. That's how the vaccine is going to be. And when it gets to that time, we will run into the bushes. Many of us are going to be killed. Many of us will be treated like animals. But no matter what, don't take it. The churches, they will close down the churches and tell you, if you want to go to church, come and take the vaccine. And because the men and women of God have invested much money in the auditoriums and the churches, they will tell you, go for the vaccines. This is why it is dangerous to have the view. Because those who said rapture will come before great tribulation, majority have told their people, until we go away, the mark of the beast will not come. So when it comes, they will go to take it. That is why the Lord also revealed to two different people that it is the church system that would distribute the mark of the beast to a lot of Christians.
I saw during the lockdown period, I saw one church during their online service, and
their prayer meeting before the
praying for the vaccines to come.
Let's pray that God will reveal, God will allow the vaccine to come. And I said that, wow, if you pray for the vaccine to come, that means you are a candidate of the vaccine, then you will take it.
Brethren, that church, as you are saying, I know the church, you know it. You know it's a demonic church. So if they are praying for the vaccine to come, it's just normal. But my brother, my sister, everybody listening, we're not here to scare anybody. The same way COVID came, they educated us for us to be much prepared. This is about coming. We are educating you for you to be prepared so that we will start getting ourselves out of the systems of the world. So that when you get to that time, we will not be affected much. For me now, I have nothing. All I have is my body. I'm walking around. Every money I get, I'm using it for evangelism so that I'll get treasures in heaven. So when I get somebody who wants to kill me, the person is killing me for me to go to inherit my treasure in heaven. So why will I be afraid? So your properties, you are lining up. Start using it for the word of God, work of God. Pray to God and let the Lord leave you. If not, all those properties, because of those properties, many will take the mark of the beast. Amen.
Yeah.
May Jesus Christ be with us. And if anybody want to be receiving daily godly messages, including the Great Tribulation and Rapture series we've done already, and the new ones we are doing, this is the number. Send me a message on WhatsApp. Tell me I should add you to the group. The group, nobody posts anything there. Godly messages like this, we post it, like recordings, Rema Aguilar and the prophecies and our own messages, we record, we put it there, so that together we'll grow. The number is 0204-200-444. I'm in Accra because my mother-in-law is dead. And God willing, coming Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we are going to do her funeral. That is why I am in Accra. So my mother-in-law is dead. May the good Lord Jesus be with us, brethren.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for the message. You know, what you said at the latter part, just like Lot's wife. You see, Lot's wife looked back because of, you know, leaving behind
the properties, the goodies. Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, Jesus said it. Remember Lot's wife. It's one of the least messages Jesus said that we talk about. Remember Lot's wife.
Luke 17, verse 32.
Yeah, thanks. And so we have to remind ourselves that we are pilgrims here. We are not here forever. So if we don't, like the things attaching us to the world, we don't try to loosen it now. They are the same things that will hold us back. And you know, one question people should ask is, a virus that has a survival rate of 99.8%, why would tickets or you are a criminal become the standard? And the other issue is, if you have taken the vaccine, and I have not taken the vaccine, why should you be afraid of me? You see, because then that means the one who has the vaccine should not be afraid of anyone then. But why should it be that by force everyone will have to take it? Because I know, I mean, countries have started legislating behind the scenes and all that about criminalizing if you don't, making it a crime and not punishable and all. You see, we are getting there. These things alone surrounding this vaccine alone should let us know that no, this is not an ordinary thing. There's more to it than we are being told or we know about. Because if it's just a normal vaccine, I mean, the conditions around it should not be as scary as it's looking, because, I mean, if you don't take it, you don't take it. But now, they will say that no. That as soon as they make it a crime, an offense not to have it, should tell you that no, there's something to it. Because if you don't take it, why should that be the risk factor to those who have taken it? If you have a vaccine, you should be protected. Why should you be afraid of me who don't have it? But they'll say, no, everyone should have it. And even now, they are saying that even when we have it, we still have to use the nose mask. We still have to do social distancing. That should tell you that no. There's more to it than just the vaccine. Because if the vaccine was truly the solution to it, then once you have it, you are free to live your normal life. Hug around and, live a normal life. But now the experts are saying that no, we will still not have a normal life even after the vaccine comes. That should be the bell that should ring and let us know that there's more to it. There's more. The program is Issues of Life. Unfortunately, time has run too fast. God willing, next week you'll be coming your way. You can get to listen to the recording on spiritissues.info. you can, the news that I read to the PDF or the Word document is there. You can download the news and have it. You know, sometimes people request for it when I finish. So it's there on the website ahead of time now. Spirit Issues on Info. You can listen, download the news. It's there. I'll upload the message tonight. And then you can also have the message, the Spirit Issues.info. Last week's edition and previous ones are also there. Good night and God bless you.
Welcome to the Temple Treasury with